This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Graybar Sports Open Line on this Monday evening. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly with the Cardinals on their All-Star break. Day one of four of the MLB All-Star break. We'll be talking about the Cardinals limping into the break with just one win out of three against the Atlanta Braves over the weekend. We'll be talking a little bit about the Home Run Derby tonight in Atlanta to kick off those Major League All-Star activities. We'll touch on the Major League Draft and the Cardinals selections, which are coming to a close this evening and, in fact, have wrapped up. They took Chase Heath in the 20th round out of University of Central Missouri, I should say. Got a local guy with the 600th pick, their final selection in the Major League Draft in 2025. We'll talk to Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com during our second hour about how the Redbirds did, and there will be more discussion to come this week on the Cardinals' busy draft, highlighted by the number 5 overall selection in the first round. We'll discuss the Wimbledon Tennis Championships that ramped up yesterday with a men's final between Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz. Sinner emerged as the gentleman's champion. Iga Świątek won on the women's side on Saturday. Mike Monaco, who called a number of the matches for ESPN, will join us to discuss at the bottom of this hour. But first, we have Jen Cease with us. You know her from here on KMOX, hosting City Spotlight. You know her from Y98 broadcasts of St. Louis City Soccer. You know her probably from being all over your social media at Jen Cease on air with her terrific city content. And Jen is here to talk about St. Louis City finally winning a game 2-1 over Portland yesterday. Jen, are you feeling a little bit better today getting to talk about a victory at long last?
Hey, Nate, thanks for having me. And yes, I love these conversations way better than the other ones.
I'm wondering who this team exactly is. I was looking at the stats. I'm seeing 53% possession. I'm seeing 9 shots on target, 20 shots in total, a couple of second half goals from the man of the match, Marcel Hartl. How much did you see watching the game that kind of jumped off the page, if you will, that looked different from what we've seen in the last few weeks or months?
Yeah, great to point out those stats. And another one, by the way, that sticks out to me is the passing for St. Louis City. And it's just been creeping up since David Critchley took over as caretaker head manager, now interim head manager. You know, he was not a fan necessarily of low possession rate. Of course, you have to have good possession. You have to have quality possession that leads to something. But I've really liked seeing that number creep up along with the number of passes that City's making and connecting. So I would think when I look back and I watched again the game and watched the highlights from the game from the TV rather than just up in the booth, you know what sticks out to me is dynamic movement and dynamic passing. And like, again, diagonals, when I look at a lot of those goal attempts, whether they went in or not, there was checking back by Klaus and Hartle. There were diagonal runs, overlapping passes, give and goes. It was just a much more dynamic movement than we saw under Olaf Melberg, where we saw a front line that really didn't move very much. So a lot of movement from this team, which creates, which is really what soccer is all about, right? It's a sport of creativity where you do have kind of set plays, but the rest of the game is left to creativity of the players. And I really like seeing it grow with St. Louis City right now.
Obviously, a big part of the story of this season, when it's written even now and when it's written in the history books, is going to be about Olaf Melberg and the style that he brought to City that maybe was not what, certainly was not what any of us on the outside expected. Maybe from the sounds of the press conferences after he was relieved of his duty, wasn't even exactly what the powers that be at City and Lutz Fanenstiel and Diego Gigliani necessarily expected. And that has played a big part in putting City where they are. But another part of it has been the injuries and just the consistent inconsistency of who's available, who's on the field. And that's made the job for David Critchley in this interim role even more difficult. Do you see some hope on the horizon, a little light at the end of the tunnel in City being able to establish a little bit more consistency, not only in the message that's coming all the way from Lutz Fanenstiel through David Critchley into the dressing room, but also in just the 11 players they're able to put on the field at any given time?
Yeah, you read my mind. What I was thinking of injuries as you were leading to that question, because not only does it make it hard on the coaching staff to figure out who's there, it makes it hard on the players on the pitch and even those that are on the bench, not really necessarily knowing what their role is on any given game. And again, I know it's soccer is a sport of creativity, but in general, you kind of know your role. And Marcel Hartl sticks out to me. He's a player who's been asked to really change what he does over this past, gosh, has it even been a year he's been with the club almost? He's gone from being really involved creatively in the attack to really then having to cover back on defense when Wallen was out for a while, when Leuven's been in and out of play. And it's been nice to see him really kind of find, he really had a role last night, and that was simply to be creative in the attack. Everybody else's job, Wallum and Ostrox, were there to win the ball. He got to focus on creativity and attacking, and it was really nice to see that. So with Orozco coming in, who's been performing really nice from the second team, and players starting to come back, it was nice to see Ostrox step into his own, and hopefully we'll get a few more back here in the next few weeks. City's going to be soon on a break once again. Having that makes it easier also on the players on the pitch to know what I'm there to do. Is it what I normally do?
It's funny you saying that about Marcel Hartl. Almost feels like deja vu in how we were talking about Edouard Leuven before he had this sort of extended spell on the sidelines, but how much of last season was defined by him having to drop into a deeper and deeper and deeper role where he just wasn't able to do so many of the things that made him impactful in the attacking half of the field in 2023. Now, St. Louis City, even with the win, still second bottom in the Western Conference, just 18 points from 22 games, 9 points back of Austin, who have the ninth and final playoff spot. At this stage, a run to qualify for the playoffs and fulfill that promise from Carolyn Kindle in the preseason is extremely unlikely. Not impossible, but it is very unlikely. What is your sense about where the mindset of this team is? What is there for them in the run-in of this season? And frankly, what's there as well for David Critchley as he tries to make his case for potentially the full-time job?
That's a great question. You know, I look at the standings too, and I see our next opponent, of course, they're traveling to Dallas. It's FC Dallas. We're just one win away from matching them in where they are at number 13. St. Louis City is sitting at 14. I know that runs like this tend to be, like you said, not completely impossible, kind of off the cuff, but the Blues did it. So it does happen like that. When you talk to the players, you Rich, they are very, very much of the mindset that if we make the playoffs, everything resets, right? You can have something completely different come out of the playoffs. They are very much focused on the fact that point by point, win by win, and if they keep playing the way that they have been, they've been very proud. Even though they haven't had the results, that's been the frustration, right? But they've been very proud of the performances when they go back and they look at video review. And, you know, a lot of arms go up in the video review, like, why aren't we getting the results? Because what we want to do has been what we've wanted to do. But David Critchley continuing to focus on that field tilt, he likes to talk about that. I think in the first half against Portland, St. Louis City had a 72% field tilt, yet went into halftime down a goal. So if they continue going in that direction and now getting more numbers into the box, getting more numbers higher and confronting the lines higher, then I think they can continue to start to steal points. If they can get a win at FC Dallas, I think that really makes the case for them to continue.
It's a good point that you make, though, about the mindset and how things have changed under David Critchley, because I think even if the results up until yesterday haven't changed dramatically, I think supporters, the people who really go to the games and who follow the team closely, I think have already taken some encouragement from the fact that the style of play has been so much more appealing, even for a neutral fan. The games under Olaf Melberg were just not enjoyable to watch, and they are moving in the right direction in that regard. In showing that the philosophy of this club, especially if it's tweaked some of the ways that David Critchley has tweaked it, can still be entertaining in the way that people once found it entertaining.
I agree. And so this is going to be maybe an unpopular opinion for those of us who really liked it under Bradley Carnell. I loved talking to Bradley Carnell. I loved his enthusiasm. But that kind of chaotic press that we just know wears on players' legs. I know they're sitting at the top of the Eastern Conference right now, so Philadelphia Union's doing well. But we've seen what it does to players, and sometimes it's really not sustainable over the long haul. I like Critch's style better. I like the blend of the fact that we're not just throwing defense to the wolves, right, for that chaotic press. But we're also trying to keep that energy and break lines higher and make sure we're pushing up and being brave. I really like that kind of, I feel like it's a nice blend of sophisticated soccer with that excitement that the casual fan might be a little bit more excited about. So I'm enjoying seeing it grow with St. Louis City. And it was nice to hear David Critchley talk about this last week of training. Hopefully it will go into this week, of course, too, of being not only the most energetic, but one of the other things that stood out to him was the player's quality on the ball, the quality of that first touch, the ability to win back the second ball is climbing and climbing for this team. So really need to see that continue if they're going to try and make the playoffs.
Jen, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks so much. And hopefully some more victories and some more intrigue to come for City this year.
Thanks, Nate. Great to talk to you.
That's Jen Cease. You hear her on the City Spotlight here on KMOX and on Y98 broadcast of City Soccer. Follow her on Twitter or X or Instagram or anywhere else at Jen Cease on air for all of that City content. Wimbledon discussion when we return. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line continues. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly on this Monday evening. We're going to be talking Wimbledon now. We'll be joined in just a few minutes by Mike Monaco of ESPN, who helped to call the tournament on the network along with Chris Fowler. And then we will talk just before the top of the hour about the Home Run Derby. My producer, Kyle Sixta, will join us for that. We'll talk about some of the names involved and make some predictions on Kyle really will make predictions. I don't know. My predictions will just be based on vibes, I think. But we'll make some predictions on the Home Run Derby that'll be getting underway at 7 o'clock in Atlanta. And then in the second hour, we'll turn our attention back to the Cardinals. Talked about them for the last hour with Bernie Miklas. You can hear that discussion and everything else that we do here on the free Odyssey app in podcast form. You can search the Redbird Rush Hour. You can follow that. You can follow the Sports Open Line. Of course, everything that we do live is streamed as well on X/Twitter, and you can see it on Facebook, on YouTube, anywhere else. You can submit your comments and questions there. You can also call us at 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. You can leave a talkback message on the Odyssey app. You can leave a voicemail with us here at KMOX. You can also tweet us at KMOX Sports, or if you want, you can ask nicely, and I'll give you Kyle Sixta's personal cell phone number, and you can contact him that way. Whatever is easiest, that's what we will do to bring the show to you. Wimbledon final on the gentleman's side yesterday. Jannik Sinner in four sets over Carlos Alcaraz. Iga Świątek won the ladies singles on Saturday. She smacked American Amanda Anisimova 6-0-6-0 in under an hour, the first straight set victory for in a women's final in 114 years. at Wimbledon. We will talk about all of that, as well as a couple of the higher-seeded American women, Coco Gauff, the 2-seed, Jess Pegula, the 3-seed, both going out in the first round in what was a bloody first couple of days at Wimbledon for the seeded players. All of that discussion with Mike Monaco after the break. You're tuned into Graybar Sports Open Line on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Graybar Sports Open Line continues. Nate Gatter back with you in for Matt Pauly. Thanks so much for making us a part of your Monday evening. We are joined now by Mike Monaco of ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter/X @MikeMonaco_. You might know him from college football, college basketball, college baseball, including the Men's College World Series on ESPN. Now you might know him from tennis. Just wrapped up his second year contributing to the play-by-play on ESPN's coverage from the Wimbledon Championships. Mike, thanks so much for being with us when you didn't make it back to this side of the Atlantic all that long ago.
Yeah, my pleasure, Nate. Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, such a special event. I mean, as prestigious as it appears, I have found it to be that way. Like you said, my 2 years being there, and an honor to be a small part of the coverage over there and just experience how spectacular that is.
Obviously, the headlines over the last 24 hours are focusing on the gentlemen singles final that we watched yesterday. But I want to go back first as we focus initially on the ladies' side singles, going back to the very beginning of the fortnight when there was all this carnage on both the men's and women's sides, frankly. 23 of the 64 total seeded players crashed out in the first round of the men's and women's singles, which was a tournament record since they started seeding 32 players on both sides in 2001. And a couple of high-profile American women, the number two seed Coco Gauff, the number three seed Jess Pegula, were both among the victims of those early upsets. How did that kind of set the tone, not just their departures, but in general, the sort of upside-down nature of those early rounds set the tone for, in particular, how the first week went, but the entire championships?
Yeah, I think it really did. I mean, it opened up the women's draw. And, you know, 9 years in a row, we've seen this play out where there's a different champion from the year before. And it kind of felt like it was trending that way. And we can get into a bigger picture discussion of why that happens at Wimbledon in particular, maybe compared to some of the other majors. But yeah, it certainly opened things up right away. I mean, in a span of what, 9 hours, Coco Gauff and Jess Pegula both went out, and Pegula went out in less than an hour to kind of start that day. And then, you know, the night gets capped with Coco Gauff going out against a very capable opponent, mind you, and Diana Yastremska. But that did set the tone, like you said, and we just kind of saw that play out really the whole way. So yeah, a real fascinating women's draw in particular, and we've come to learn that this is kind of the way it goes there on the grass with the short lead up season, and it led to some really exciting finishes. And I mean, look, even from the semis to the women's championship match to the women's final, like, Amanda Anisimova looked so good against Aryna Sabalenka, and then, you know, we all saw what happened on Saturday, and she goes down against someone as convincing as Iga Swiatek, and you see a final that played out at a major and something you hadn't seen since, what, the 1980s, going six love. But yeah, just another testament to the way the sport is.
It's funny that you mentioned that Pegula going out in under an hour, and that was, of course, the theme of Saturday's final when Swiatek beat Anisimova 6-love, 6-love, as you mentioned. First major final on the women's side since 89, first Wimbledon women's final in 114 years to go love and love, and only took 57 minutes. What a whirlwind for Anisimova. I mean, it still has to go down as the highlight of her career to have gotten to this final, to have beaten Aryna Sabalenka the way that she did in the semifinals just a couple of days prior, but then to turn around and lose in that way. Ultimately, a big disappointment for a woman who benefited tremendously from some of the early chaos and how it opened things up for her.
Definitely. I mean, the way that played out was crazy. And look, it's a great credit. Like, you talk about all the different factors there. You know, Sabalenka, like, looked as convincing as possible. And she hasn't played there a lot in the last few years. Like, being a player from Belarus, and, you know, Russians and Belarusians being banned there. Her shoulder injury last year with kind of the lat muscle. So things had opened up for her. Amanda Anisimova, like, her story so well documented, and how things opened up for her. You know, 13 seed in her own right. But to get to that point was obviously very impressive. And then, yeah, Iga Swiatek, on the flip side of things, like, I think back, Nate, to the match she had against Katie McNally, the American who in her own right has come back from injuries, a Cincinnati native. That was, what, the second round for Iga Swiatek? Loses a set. Like, that could have been very different. So, yeah, to kind of expand it out with the three of them, like, again, fascinating how the draw shakes out. And that's what you get with majors. Like, it's you know, seeds held on the men's side, for sure. But on the women's side, man, it just takes, like, things going your way and getting hot. And you know, once you felt Iga Swiatek get through that match against McNally, like, man, she was off and running from there. And I think these majors can take that form over 2 weeks as well. Like, you get hot. You know, we talk about it in other sports, like, get hot at the right time, and then boom, like, ride that for the rest of the tournament, for the rest of the fortnight.
Turn our attention to the men's side, where it always felt like a collision course, not without its own chaos, right? I mean, Sinner benefited tremendously from an injury that allowed him potentially to avoid going out earlier in the tournament as well. I mean, not early in the tournament, but before getting to the final, certainly. And so maybe he wouldn't have been there in a different world, but it always felt like the most likely outcome was Sinner and Alcaraz again in the Wimbledon final. Alcaraz bringing in his 20-match unbeaten streak, then winning the first set, And Sinner just turned it around on him. And Sinner, at the level that he reached yesterday, looked, to my eye, borderline unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the level, Nate, that we've seen. We've come to learn that and expect that on the hard courts in particular. And, man, to see it on the grass was really impressive. Like, you know, the Grigor Dimitrov situation for Jannik Sinner in, what, the fourth round? Like, it's well documented. That could have gone another way for sure. And unfortunately for Grigor Dimitrov, he gets hurt. But by the same logic, like, and then Sinner comes out and he's playing, you know, with the elbow question mark against Ben Shelton, about as convincing tennis as you could expect from anyone at Wimbledon. He looked really good against Ben Shelton. He looked really good against Novak Djokovic. And again, Novak Djokovic, you know, was he compromised? If he says so, certainly looked that way. I was doing his match in the quarters against Flavio Cavoli, and it happened right at the end for Novak Djokovic. So, but still, like, Sinner played at such a high level. So I agree with you. And I think it's really impressive because he kind of felt like it was Sinner's going to dominate the hard courts, and Alcaraz has asserted himself on the clay and on the grass. And these guys are still so young and things can change for sure. But it's a testament to Sinner that he played at that high of a level on the grass against Carlos, who was going for 3 years in a row. But man, Sinner's scary. Like, the way he moves at his size and getting in and out of the corners and just getting to balls, and then the pace with which he hits his shots, like, his ground strokes, man, are just coming at incredible pace. Like, Ben Shelton talked about it after their match in the quarterfinals. Ben Shelton was like, man, you don't see that pace from other people. So Jannik Sinner, it's just really impressive what he does. And he hits with great depth, but he also hits with good margin. Like, he is hitting at such a commanding pace that it really affords him the opportunity, when you pair that with his margin, to make mistakes and to, you know, force opponents into mistakes. So, yeah, I mean, he looked about as good as it gets, and what a match that was yesterday.
Mike Monaco of ESPN is with us talking Wimbledon championships. He contributed to the play-by-play for ESPN over the fortnight at the championships. You can follow him on Twitter or X at Mike Monaco _. You know, Mike, I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but I saw a tweet today that I've been thinking about for the rest of the day. And it said, predict the next men's player to win a Grand Slam, not named Jannik Sinner or Carlos Alcaraz. Because you're dealing with two guys younger than 25 who are playing at this level and who often look dominant against anyone other than each other. Not always. Alcaraz certainly is prone to drop the sets here and there. Sinner, as mentioned, maybe was good injury luck or bad Dimitrov injury luck away from going out earlier in the championships. But guys who are, for the most part, clear and convincing as the top two in the world right now at such a young age, who's out there to be the one who steps up and challenges them in a major?
It's so scary to think about. It's a great question. I had that posed to me as well recently. I mean, Sinner 23, Alcaraz 22. Like, we said it at one point, we were doing a two box of Alcaraz and Joao Fonseca, 18-year-old. And that's not my answer necessarily. But I said on air, I said it to Patrick McEnroe, like, we could have fun watching this for the next 15 years, right? Like, sign up for this. And that is the term that you're talking about with these two guys and their dominance in this sport. You know, Zverev is, what, 3 in the world? He was the 3 seed. He went out early. For me, it's not Zverev. You know, 4 in the world right now is Taylor Fritz. And he was seeded, what, 5th? Raper was 4th? I think for me, it's probably Taylor Fritz. Like, he's not this incredible athlete, right? Like, in the way that Carlos and Sinner in different ways, but in the way that both of them are. Taylor Fritz, not necessarily that. But, man, I'll be darned if that guy doesn't squeeze every ounce of his ability out of himself and look for answers on ways to improve. And if he isn't such a thoughtful thinker of the sport and the match when he's in it and in those moments, I'm going to take my chances with him. Like, guy who's been to the final before, right? U.S. Open, guy who got to the semifinal here, played a pretty good match in the semifinals as well. Look, you think about injuries, like, you think about stuff like that, and to your point in your question, like, anything can happen like that, and, you know, upsets can happen. We saw that, of course, like you said, over these 2 weeks, so I think it can open up, and I don't think all hope is lost, for someone else to wrangle one from these guys. But look, it's seven in a row, and they're only going to get better. And they're still only entering, like, their athletic and mental toughness and, you know, sports psychology prime and all those things. So it's scary. And, you know, I certainly would take the two of them against the field going into any major by a long shot. But you asked me to pick a name, and I would say Taylor Fritz.
Yeah, you're nothing if not a good sport with answering the question. I got one more for you, unrelated to tennis, even though that's why we have you here, because you know, you are well-versed in Major League Baseball with your fill-in opportunities for the White Sox and the Red Sox on television, as well as some Major League Baseball on ESPN, and in particular, your college baseball work on ESPN, which has included the Men's College World Series in the last couple of years. So you are very familiar with the Tennessee Volunteers and Tony Vitello and some of the pitchers that they have produced. The Cardinals, who obviously are king here in St. Louis, took a couple of them with their first two picks, Liam Doyle and Tanner Franklin. In particular, I think the Doyle selection at number five has people really fired up because they weren't necessarily confident that Doyle was going to be there coming in before the surprise picks at number one, and in particular number two, that kind of changed how the top part of the board shook out. What stands out to you? What should Cardinals fans be most excited about with Doyle in particular?
I love the guy. I got to spend like 15 minutes with Liam the day before one of his starts in the postseason in May, in late May. He's really impressive, man. It's a ton of confidence. It's a ton of emotion on the mound. Like, I referred to him as like a madman at one point in one of his outings, in a good way. Like, he's a guy who, in my opinion, could rocket up an organization if the Cardinals wanted to and be a part of the bullpen in really short order. You know, I think, like, the question will be secondary pitches in command for him. He's got two solid secondaries as it is already right now. The one for him that he said to me, like, has always been the work in progress is the curveball. It's more slurvish. It's like 11 to 5. He says in his own right, it's a work in progress. You know, he was able to get some swing and miss with it late in the year. But that's a big key for him. Like, if he can add that to what he's got, a mixture, he calls it, between a slider and a cutter, and then a splitter as well. It's like a true split. If he can add that and be a four-pitch guy with the, you know, the breaking ball, because everything's hard otherwise. It's fastball, it's splitter, it's the slider cutter that I just mentioned. If he can, you know, really find a way to throw a curve, and not saying he needs that. Like, you can be successful with three pitches and certainly at a high velo. We've got guys like that in Major League Baseball who have success that way with hard stuff. But I think that's a big thing for him. But, man, there's so much to like with the moxie on the mound, the fastball as well. Like, he throws that fastball two-thirds of the time in the college game, and he's got really good induced vertical break, and that's real baseball nerdish stuff, but it basically just means it holds its carry. So, like, that fastball, you think it's coming down or staying at a certain level, and, well, it actually stays higher than that and appears to be elevating. So he's really good with that four-seam fastball. I think the body has continued to get better. Like, he felt like he unlocked a lot of strength and conditioning stuff this year. His diet was very different this year than it had been at his first two stops over his first 2 years of college. So I do think there's more like development runway there with him. And he's such a super competitor. And you would expect that with anyone, you know, pick top 10, top 15 in the draft. But I do think he is such a super competitor that, like, I would bet on him to achieve whatever the fullest potential is for him. But yeah, strike throwing and the curveball, I think, are the two things to watch in my mind.
Mike, we appreciate your time so much. Congratulations on everything that you've been up to recently, and best of luck with what's to come.
Nate, my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Mike Monaco of ESPN with us on Graybar Sports Open Line. You can follow him at @MikeMonaco_. You can see him across, it feels like, just about every property that ESPN has. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get Kyle Sixta's home run derby prediction officially. He's going to be locked in before the Derby starts in just about 15 minutes tonight. That's still to come, and of course, we'll continue talking about the Cardinals draft with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com later on in our second hour. Maybe touch on a little bit of soccer as well after our conversation with Jen Cease earlier. All of that still to come and more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Not tonight. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly for Graybar Sports Open Line. It continues on this Monday evening. Thanks so much for being with us. You can be part of the conversation at 314-436-7900 or by leaving us a comment on any of our stream options across YouTube, X, and Facebook. You can also leave us a voice message using the TalkBack feature on the free Odyssey app, or you can go back and listen to anything that you've missed, including our St. Louis City conversation with Jen Cease of KMOX and Y98, our Wimbledon Championships discussion with Mike Monaco of ESPN that included some bonus Liam Doyle content at the very end for you. I thought that was a really thorough breakdown that Mike gave us, and he is as embedded in the college game as probably anybody. I guess technically he's ESPN's number two play-by-play voice for college baseball, but that's only because Carl Ravitch and the Sunday Night crew come in and act as the number one crew when they get to the World Series in Omaha. But short of the College World Series, Mike Monaco's team, usually with some combination of Kyle Peterson or Ben McDonald, is the number one crew in college baseball. And obviously Tennessee over the last several years has been, you know, one of the top teams in college baseball in terms of the eyeballs that they're drawing for, you know, some different reasons, partially because they can be divisive at times with the personality that they take on and the way they aren't afraid to butt heads and show that emotion. It's one of the things that's going to be really interesting. It is sort of outside of the tangible numbers and the stuff and all that we're going to talk about with Liam Doyle is how that emotion, and you heard Mike Monaco mention the emotion with which Liam Doyle pitches, how that's going to translate to professional baseball. Historically speaking, some of the more demonstrative reactions that are becoming common among top pitchers in college baseball, and in particular are well known among Tennessee players, are not normally favorites of veterans in pro baseball, especially at the major league level. But at the same time, obviously the game is changing. And over the last 10, 15 years, a little bit more of that has been not just tolerated, but celebrated in the major league game. I do think there's going to be a line there that has to be walked because, you know, college baseball pitchers are sometimes not only demonstrative and vocal, but very confrontational in how they do that. And certainly there are many worse offenders than Liam Doyle, but he is a guy who pitches with a lot of emotion. And it would be interesting, especially if he is fast-tracked to the major leagues and doesn't get a lot of time in pro baseball before pitching on the big league stage. It would be interesting to see how that plays out. But I thought Mike gave great breakdowns as well of the stuff, both the positives with that fastball and the induced vertical break. He talked about how it keeps its plane and appears to be rising, which is such a critical piece of those high velo guys now with the, I don't want to say uppercut, but the launch angle emphasis that is so present. You have to be able to beat those swings up in the zone. It's not as simple as just keep the ball down and get ground balls anymore. So that is so key. At the same time, part of the reason that the critics of Doyle talk about him as a bullpen option, which I think is overblown and premature, but part of the reason that comes out is because there are questions as to the depth of his arsenal. What are the quality of those secondary pitches? Are there enough of them? Can he develop a third secondary pitch? And can he have at least one, if not two of those, that are genuine plus pitches to go with a fastball that I think everyone is confident will play at the major league level? Talk a little bit more about that and the Cardinals draft class on the other side of our break. To start the second hour, we'll also visit with Brian Walton at 7:20. He writes for thecardinalnation.com, covering mainly the Cardinals minor league system, and he will be all over this draft class for the Cardinals that just recently concluded this evening with their 20th round selection. Before we do any of that, let's talk about the Home Run Derby, which is going to start in just a few minutes in Atlanta, and that gives us a chance to bring in producer Kyle Sixta, who is going to have to make his choice as to who will win the Home Run Derby this evening. The options are the following eight players: the Nationals' James Wood, Athletics outfielder Brent Rooker, Junior Caminero of the Rays, O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates, Minnesota's Byron Buxton, Jazz Chisholm Jr. of the Yankees, Major League home run leader Cal Raleigh of the Mariners, and the Braves' hometown boy, first baseman Matt Olson. Kyle, who do you like and why?
Nate, it's tough. I think Bernie made a lot of really good points on the Redbird Rush Hour earlier when you asked him this question, and I don't want to be a copycat here, but I really do agree with a lot of what he said. I think James Wood is the favorite for me. He's just has such effortless power, and like Bernie said, Truist Park is really an advantage for left-handed hitters when it comes to a home run derby. You have the chop house right out in right field, and you're just able to smoke homers out there in Atlanta. And I think James Wood, he just has such effortless power, right? I mean, line drives, he can hit it to anywhere in the field and get it out of there. I'm really bummed that Ronald Acuna Jr. isn't in this home run derby. I think Matt Olson is great. I think we could see him go very far, but Acuna in his home stadium would have been really cool. He might have been my pick if it weren't for the back issues that he had, but I do think I'm going James Wood. If I was going to go with a right-handed hitter, I like Brent Rooker maybe as a sleeper pick, but Wood is going to be really fun. I'm interested to see how O'Neill Cruz does. You know, he hits a baseball harder than pretty much anyone in the whole world. I mean, he hit 122.9 miles an hour this year. So it'll be really interesting to see what these guys do. I'm going James Wood.
I'm going to go with the exit velo king, O'Neill Cruz. That's going to be my official pick. I think the concern for O'Neill Cruz would be that maybe the consistency of the launch angle won't be there, right? And that in a home run derby you care a little bit less. There's some value, you know, there's a little bonus in hitting a, you know, one 425 feet, getting those long homers. That's something that they've brought in to the competition over the last several years, but there's greater value in being able to consistently park him in the seats and getting that launch angle, and that would worry me a little bit with him, but I'm going to go ahead and bet on that 122.9.
I think that's fair, and how did we not mention Cal Raleigh, right?
Right.
I mean, he's the number one guy in this derby who has the most homers, the home run leader, and we didn't even mention him. He's obviously a very good candidate as well. It's interesting, though, with, you know, the time rather than who can just hit the furthest homers. That maybe is a format I would like Raleigh in. But, you know, these guys that are a bit younger and, you know, can do it maybe a little bit longer are who I'm going to go for.
Cal Raleigh is marginally the favorite in Vegas. O'Neal Cruz had been third on the board. He's now second, probably because they heard me pick him, and that just inspires. All the bookmakers react to that. James Wood is third. Big drop-off after those three. So Vegas views those three as the top options. We'll take a break. The news is coming up on the other side. We'll dive into that Cardinals draft class, visit with Brian Walton, talk some soccer as well on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.